We're going to continue our look at Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus, and today we're kind of getting into a little bit of it, more of the meat of it, how it is that we live as Christians in order to be a faithful church, to be the body of Christ in this day and this age, how it is that we are called to be together, to be the church, to be the body of Christ, so that the world can look at us and see that there's something special, there's something different about those people. And so let's take a look. We're going to look at Paul's letter to the Ephesians in the fourth chapter there. And we'll pick up with the 25th verse today, verses 25 through the end of the chapter, verse 32. So then, putting away falsehood, let all of us speak the truth to our neighbors, for we are members of one another. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not make room for the devil. Thieves must give up stealing. Rather, let them labor and work honestly with their own hands so as to have something to share with the needy. Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building up as there is need, so that your words may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with which you were marked with a seal for the day of redemption. Put away from you all bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander, together with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven you. May the Lord bless us a portion from his holy word. Well, it's not one of the easier passages that Paul gives to us about being the church. Oh, I wish he didn't tell us to do all those things. It's hard to live as a Christian in any time. But I think it's particularly hard for us to live as a Christian in this day and age, because we seem to be living in a day and age that is very angry. We seem to be living in a culture of anger, one side against another. If it's not this issue, it's another issue. And if it's not that other issue, it's a third issue, and so on. It just seems to be a time that is challenging for us to live as people. Our humanness always comes to the fore. It always rises up and comes to the top of who we are. It's kind of funny. The old saying goes, the more things change, the more they stay the same. And that's very true, because the Apostle Paul, talking to the church at Ephesus, might just as easily have been talking to you and to me. Might just as easily have been talking about our situation and our desire to be followers of Jesus Christ in this day and in this age. Because some of the same issues that Paul was dealing with the church in Ephesus, are issues that you and I deal with in our lives from day to day, day in and day out. There's always going to be those who upset us, those who make us angry, those who just ruin our days. There's always going to be those kinds of things happening, either within our families or within our communities or even within the church. There's going to be those days when somebody says something and we are hurt or we are angry. And Paul tells us that it's okay to be angry. He says, be angry, but don't let the sun go down on that anger. Don't let that anger last. Get rid of that anger. Don't keep it. Don't dwell on it. Don't carry grudges, I think is what he's trying to say to us. But grudges are so easy to carry. It's so much easier to carry a grudge. It's so much easier to not forgive somebody. It's so much easier to... And we justify these things, don't we? Well, that person's not to be trusted. So I'm never, just not going to have anything to do with them. You know, they did this to me in 1938. This is actually kind of true. There was a church You know, in our Presbyterian system, when a church doesn't have a pastor, the presbytery will send in a minister to moderate the session, moderate congregational meetings, and so on, to make sure that the church is continuing on and has the assistance and guidance that they need. So I was sent to be the moderator of a church not far from where I was living in Conklin. And as I'm going into this church, and it was a three-story building, and as I'm walking up the steps, a woman comes out at the second floor coming onto the steps with me, and she says, "Oh, are you Reverend Starzer?" I go, "Yes, that's me." And she says, "Well, before you get upstairs, I need to tell you something." And so we stopped there on the platform there on the second floor, and she says, "Now, Reverend, you need to know this. There's a woman on the session, and her mother," and then she goes on and describes this whole thing that her mother had done that hurt and offended her grandmother like 30 or 40 years ago. She says, "Now, she's going to be at the session meeting, but don't trust anything she says." Okay, well, what have I gotten myself into? I go up and I do the session meeting, and we get done. We got to accomplish what we needed to accomplish, and gathering up my papers, and I'm getting ready to leave. And guess what? The woman at the other end of the table, sat opposite each other at the table, she says, "Reverend, before you leave, I need to tell you something." And she says, "You don't know what that woman's mother did to my grandmother 40 years ago. You cannot trust her. Don't trust a word she says." I thought, oh no, what have I gotten into here? "Even so, come quickly, next pastor." And that's how they dealt with each other. They were carrying this grudge. 30, 40 years in the making. The principal people were long gone. These two women were not youngsters. These women were older than I am now, and they were still carrying the grudge on behalf of mother and on behalf of grandmother all these years later. And they carried that grudge, and it was hurting the church. Because the rest of the story is this, that was a good, strong church. They had a full-time pastor, they had 200 some odd members, and here it is, maybe 20 years later, and that church is closed. The building's been sold. Somebody's going to turn it into apartments. Because of their anger. They kept their anger. They held on to their anger. They destroyed the church in that community. It had, at one point in time, a very powerful, wonderful Christian ministry that took place in that community. But because of holding on to anger and using that anger against each other and trying to set people up. Because one of the questions that I kept going through my mind every time I was there, every session meeting, I would sit there going, well, I wonder whose side that one is on. I wonder whose side this one is on. And it just made it almost impossible to do the work of the church because of the anger that they were clinging to. It was almost like they enjoyed having that anger, like it was their right to have that anger and to not offer forgiveness. But the Apostle Paul is telling us to not hang on to the anger. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. Don't make room for the devil. A good point to ponder there. Because what he wants from us, is to learn how to live with each other in a kind and gracious and compassionate way. I know that means that you and I are going to be swimming upstream against the culture that is around us, just as the Christians in the early church were swimming upstream against the culture of their time. So too, you and I have to swim upstream against the culture of our time. Now, he's not saying that we couldn't get angry, not saying that we're not going to get hurt. He says it's just how you deal with it. And this translation uses the word wrangling. Another translation basically makes it sound like you're going to end up in a fist fight. And that's literally what the word means, a real tussle, a real, wrangling with each other and fighting, you know, fisticuffs. And you're going to have that, and make, you know, hopefully not in the church, but I will tell you this, and I don't know whether, David, you know this story or not, but my dad's first church was an Italian Presbyterian church. They were all Italian immigrants that came over from Rosetto in northern Italy and settled into Pennsylvania to work the slate quarries there. And Dad was the first English-speaking pastor they had, which was really kind of interesting because he was there 12 years and they never got the name right. Starzer became Starza. And so, but anyhow, he was the first English-speaking pastor. They were all Italians. And most of them spoke Italian as their first language, and many of them spoke English as a second language. And Dad was the first English-speaking pastor that they had. And he told me about one night when the session was meeting, and he said it was the most horrible thing he ever experienced in his life. Now, this is coming from a German, and Germans know how to argue. But he said they were at each other's throats in that session meeting. He said they were climbing across the table and sticking their fingers in each other's faces. And he said it degraded so much that they stopped speaking English. And they started yelling at each other in Italian. And it just went on and on. And Dad said, I finally had to just wrap up the meeting and call the meeting to a conclusion. And he came home. He said he came home and he said to my mother, he says, Lane, start packing. We're going to be out of here because they're going to fire me because I have no control, no say on this church. But then he said, 5 minutes after he gets home, he gets a call from the woman who owns the, it was a bar. I was trying to think of a nicer word for it, but a little Italian bar across the street from the church. And she says, Reverend, they want you over here. And Dad goes, oh, no, it's worse than I thought. So he goes across the street. Now, Dad was a teetotaler, so this was kind of funny that he did this. But he goes across the street, and he finds them. They're all sitting in the back room at this Italian bar, and they're all sitting around the table. They got a couple of bottles of Chianti, and they're all raising a toast to each other, and they're singing songs. And she said, well, they didn't want you to be excluded, so they asked me to call you over so that you could be a part of this as well. So it's not that we're not going to have arguments. It's not that we're going to go through our lives without hurting one another. It's not that we're going to go through our lives without being hurt by somebody else. But the question is, what do you do with it? Do you hold on to it? Do you carry it around like those two ladies did as a badge of honor? It was almost like they had, you know, badges on their shirts that said, I'm the one who was wronged by her family. Or do we follow Paul's charge to us to be kind to one another, tender-hearted to one another? And here comes the challenging phrase that he uses. Forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven us. Forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven us. That's a pretty tall order. That's so challenging and seemingly impossible, is it not? Because what did Jesus Christ do? He forgave us. He forgave us before we even realized all that we had done wrong. He forgave us before we even had the chance to turn towards Him. His forgiveness, His grace, His love were standing ready for us. And no ands, ifs, or buts about it. It wasn't, okay, if you do this, then I will forgive you. It was a because, therefore relationship. Because I love you so very, very much, therefore I forgive you. Forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven. forgiven us. That's how God is calling us to live our lives. That's who we are called to be as followers of Jesus Christ, living together as a family of faith. We're going to mess up. We're going to do things. We're going to step on each other's toes. We're going to say stupid things that hurt and offend others. It's inevitable. We're human. But we're called to be tender-hearted, to be kind to one another, to forgive each other, as in Jesus Christ we have been forgiven. That's who the church is called to be. That's how the church is called to live. What makes a church a great church? It's not the excellence of preaching. It's not the excellence of the music. It's not the excellence of the programming. It's the ability of the church to love graciously one another, to protect, to practice tenderheartedness, kindness, compassion, and graceful forgiveness. That's what makes a church a great church. That's the kind of church that people will take notice of. They'll go, oh, that's something special happening in that church. Not how nice our signboard is, not how great our programming is, not anything else. But do we practice the love of Jesus Christ in the way that we love one another? If we can do that, then we will become the church that God is calling us to be. Would you pray with me? Our Heavenly Father, your grace is amazing. It's overwhelming. It's unbelievable. But yet your grace abounds and flows into our hearts and into our lives. While we were yet sinners, your Son was willing to die for us so that we might have that forgiveness. Well, Lord, you've called us to forgive others as we have been forgiven. That's hard work. But by your strength, by your living in our lives, just maybe, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.